Thank the Lord for such a beautiful morning. The text this morning is found in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1. Proverbs 22 and 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. I thought this poem was so appropriate. Your family name. You got it from your father. It was all he had to give. So it's yours to use and cherish for as long as you may live. If you lost the watch he gave you, it can always be replaced. But a black mark on your name can never be erased. It was clean the day you took it, and a worthy name to bear. When he got it from his father, there was no dishonor there. So make sure you guard it wisely. After all is said and done, you'll be glad the name is spotless when you give it to your son. I want you to notice it says a good name is rather to be chosen. It's something that we choose. It's true that we get a family name. And it's a blessing to have an honorable father, an honorable mother. What a blessing. But there is something about our choice in life that dictates what our name really is, who we really are. There was a young man that had a good father. He had a family that had a good name. But this young man made some other choices in life. Let's turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 and verse 11, he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Do you know that one of the things that fell to that young man was that name? That was a part of his inheritance in life, was the name, the heritage that he had. And he took all those things. And it says in verse 13, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And may I say, he wasted his name. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. But we can waste it. We can throw it all away by the choices that we make in life. I hope we value a good name today. It's more than what people think about us, our reputation. There's something deeper than that. It's who we really are that is so valuable. Well, this prodigal son had an attitude in life that this is my life. I can live my life the way that I want. I'm of age now. I have some things coming to me. I can make my own decision. And isn't that the attitude that so many have had in life? There's a song that I remember from the world that reflects this attitude of the prodigal son. It's entitled, My Life. I don't need you to worry for me, because I'm all right. I don't want you to tell me it's time to come home. I don't care what you say anymore. This is my life. Go ahead with your own life and leave me alone. I never said you had to offer me a second chance. I never said I was a victim of circumstance. I still belong. Don't get me wrong. And you can speak your mind, but not on my time. In other words, I still belong to the family. Don't reject me. Accept me the way I am, but I reject the value system that you brought me up with. We choose our name, don't we? Through our actions, through our decisions. I'd like to turn to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 12. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor. Did you know this is a name that we can choose? He that is void of wisdom. That's not a name that I want. But a man of understanding holdeth his peace. That sounds like a good name to me. And we have a choice. Are we going to choose void of wisdom? Or are we going to choose a man of understanding? Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Every wise woman builds her home, her family relationships, her children, her husband, every wise woman. But the foolish destroys those kinds of things. Destroys relationships, destroys marriages. We have a choice. Is our name going to be wise woman, or will it be foolish? Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 20. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. These are the names that people have chosen. Winebibber, drunkard, glutton. You see, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. To not have these kinds of names, to not be these kinds of person, is so valuable. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 7. I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding. This was his name. His name was simple. His name was void of understanding because he had chosen that name. Passing through the street near her corner, he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman who also had a name, with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. See her name? Harlot. Subtle of heart, deceitful. Her heart isn't really with you. She is loud and stubborn, and her feet abide not in her house. Is this a name we can respect? Yet this is the name that our world is honoring today. This is the name that our world is entertaining itself with today. The harlot. The loud and stubborn woman. God help us to choose a good name. It's of greater value than great riches. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 16. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Don't earn yourself the name talebearer. But be a wise man. I believe the scripture says, a fool uttereth all his mind, but the wise man keepeth it in till afterward. Do you see the value of a good name? The value of the name wise man that realizes I don't have to utter everything that may cross my mind. Everything that I know about everybody, everybody's faults, all the misdeeds that are going on, I don't have to go and tell everybody those things. I can be wise and realize some of these things are better left unsaid. The news reports today, this person has done this illegitimate thing. Is that news? Is it news how ungodly people are? You know what that really is becoming? It's entertainment. It is something to feed people's minds with corruption. It's not news that ungodly people are ungodly and doing ungodly things. We don't have to choose that kind of name for ourselves. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. I wouldn't want a name of he that goes around sowing discord among the brethren. Of one that has a proud look or a lying tongue. You see, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Psalms chapter 34. Psalm 34 and verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Do you see the value of a good name, the name righteous? The Lord's eyes are upon you if you're righteous. His ears are open to your cry. How valuable is that? When you're in trouble, when you need help in life, to be able to say, Lord, and the Lord says, yes. It's greater than all the riches this world has to offer. To have the good name, righteous. 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25 and verse 2. There was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. The man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep, and David sent out 10 young men. And David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus ye shall say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. David was in the area with a large group of armed men. Those men needed some support. This man was rich. David could have easily taken what this man had. But he didn't do so. Instead, he asked, "Could you help? I heard your shears were in the field and we didn't hurt them. We didn't take anything from them. Would you mind helping us with something?" Verse 10. "And Nabal answered David's servants and said, 'Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master.'" I want to answer the question of who is David. David had been anointed by the prophet of the Lord at the direction of God to be king of Israel. That's who David was. And here this man was showing a deep disrespect. Who is David? There are many men that have broken away from their masters. "Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be?" So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. And David said unto his men, "Gird ye on every man a sword." And they girded on every man a sword, and David also girded on his sword. Sounds like trouble coming. "And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, 'Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, neither were we hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us both by night and day while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him." See, this man had a name, son of Belial. His own servants knew that. They knew what kind of man this was. So Abigail went to meet David. Verse 23, "When Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground. And fell at his feet and said, 'Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even this Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord whom thou didst send.'" Now, Nabal means foolish or wicked. Abigail had a name as well. Her name means the joy or triumphant happiness of my father. She was a wise woman. She was a beautiful woman. It is little wonder that her father was so happy about her. She humbled herself before David, and she entreated him for mercy. Verse 30, "And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord, according to all the good he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel." You know what she just did? She just recognized who David was. She acknowledged the Lord had his hand on David to be king. She was showing him due honor. This woman was a woman of understanding. Her name was Abigail, the joy of her father. Verse 32, and David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood." You see what a good name does? You see how valuable it is? Blessed are you. You have averted violence. You have been the salvation of other people. There is something more valuable than great riches, and that's to have a name like Abigail. "And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood." Proverbs 15 and 20. "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother." A wise man, what a valuable name. You remember the story of Jacob? Jacob earned his name, didn't he? The name Jacob means supplanter. It comes from the Latin supplanto, which means the bottom of the foot. In other words, to trip up the heels. To trip somebody, you might say. It is to remove or displace by design. To displace or take the place of. As a rival supplants another in the affections of his mistress or in the favor of his prince, taking that place that belonged to somebody else. This was Jacob's name. That's who he was. That's the name he had chosen in life, cheating his way through life. Well, the day came that he had to face his brother again, his brother that he had cheated. Isn't that the way life is? We do wrong, and you know what? We have to face that again. There's a way that it has the coming back to us. That person that I thought I wouldn't see again, that money that I thought I'd never have to deal with that situation again, and here it is. Well, it happened to Jacob too. That supplanter. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32 and verse 24. "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh." Verse 26, "And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Jacob knew who he was. He knew he was a cheat. He knew he had done his brother wrong. And here was coming his brother with an army of men. "I need a blessing. I need a name change. I need to be a different kind of man. This old life isn't working for me. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I need help." You know, people would do well to do that. To hold on for the blessing. "Lord, this is the kind of man I've been. This is the kind of woman I've been. I need help. And I'm going to hold on. I'm not going to let you go until I get the blessing that I need. Until you change me from the kind of man that I am. I'm holding on." "And he said unto him, What is thy name?" You know, we're really getting to the bottom of it here. Jacob, you got problems in your life. You're having to deal with these situations that you created. Let's get to the root of it. What is your name? Who are you really? And he confessed. "Jacob." See, I'm supplanter. I'm the cheat. I'm the one that did my brother wrong. That's who I am. And he said, thy name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. A prince with God. Isn't it beautiful that God can change our name from whatever it used to be? Drug addict, cheat, adulterer, thief, robber, whatever it may have been. Hateful man. Abuser of wife. Sluggard. Whatever it may have been, that God can perform a miracle. When we get serious before Him, when we earnestly seek Him with all our heart, that He does this miraculous transformation and gives us that new name. What does a name really mean? Adolf Hitler. Does a name mean anything to you? Do you feel a sense of admiration when I mention Adolf Hitler? Do we have monuments here in the United States? The Adolf Hitler Memorial in Washington, D.C.? Does a name mean anything? There is a man in New Jersey that named his son Adolf Hitler. Now, Adolf Hitler is not a very popular name, I'll tell you. But he named his little boy Adolf Hitler. And the grocery store refused to make the birthday cake for Adolf's third birthday with the name Adolf Hitler. The man raised a big to-do about it, created a lot of trouble. And one thing led to the next, and eventually the Department of Human Services, or whoever it was, took that child from that man. Our name means something, doesn't it? Who we are really does count in life. Adolf may have had a good father. I don't know. I don't know his history. But the choices he made in life set what his name became. Did you know a good name is rather to be chosen than to be the dictator over the empire that controls most of Europe? What good is it to have everything this world has to offer and to throw our good name away? Adolf threw it away. 1 Kings chapter 16. First Kings 16 and 30. Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel. There's a name. Jezebel. What comes to mind? Virtuous woman. Woman given to prayer. Someone to point your daughters to. Look at Jezebel. Don't you want to be just like her? You know what? That's what the world is doing. When they are lifting up these idols of fashion, of entertainment to their daughters, when they're going to the store and buying them the same type of clothing and buying them the movies and all this, they're pointing them to Jezebel and her type of spirit. Ahab took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. Now, Jezebel was the idolatrous daughter of an idolatrous king, carrying on the family name. Her idolatry was open in Israel. It's one thing to be apostate. It's one thing to rebel against the truth, to choose a name for yourself. It's another thing to campaign to spread that among other people. Jezebel was that type of woman. She was open in Israel with her idolatry. It was a forbidden thing. The punishment was death, and she was open with it. Bold. And she persecuted the worshipers of the true God, putting to death God's priests and his prophets. Jezebel had Naboth, the innocent man, stoned to death on false accusations so that her husband, the king, could take his vineyard. Fits with the name, doesn't it? That's the kind of name this woman had. But her end was the dogs ate her body. What about the name Esther? What comes to your mind with her name? The scripture says that this maid was fair and beautiful. Her people were to be destroyed, and word came to Esther. And her uncle requested that she go before the king. Well, the problem with going before the king is if you go unsolicited and the king does not show you favor, it's death penalty, even for the queen. So she said to get the Israelites together, her people, fast and pray 3 days. No food, no water, fasting. And she fasted as well. Then she risked her life for the sake of her people. Now, she could have ignored her people and stayed queen and enjoyed the good life. But she put her own life at risk for the sake of her people. What does the name Esther mean to you? A woman of honor, a woman of courage, a woman ready to sacrifice herself for her own people. What about the name Mary, Mother of Jesus? Does any thought come to your mind about her name? Did you know that people can think on your name and by the things that you choose, by choosing to follow the Lord, by choosing to be a person of character, they can have good thoughts because you have chosen a good name? Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. Luke 1 and 30, the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." Verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Mary was a woman of virtue. Verse 38, and Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Mary was a virtuous young woman, and she submitted herself to the Lord, ready to take the reproach that was to come her way. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Proverbs chapter 31. Verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. How valuable is it, husbands, to feel like you can safely trust in your wife? You don't have to worry when you're apart. What's she doing? Who is she with? You can safely trust. Isn't that more valuable than great riches? She seeketh wool and flax and worketh, verse 13, worketh willingly with her hands. She's a worker. Verse 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is compassionate. That is her name. Verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom. and in her tongue is the law of kindness. A kind tongue is a part of a good name. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 26. They arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And he went forth to land, and there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of him. For oftentimes it had caught him, he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Can't you imagine this man's reputation? That parents would warn their children, "See that man over there? You stay away from that man." Because he had a name. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. "What is your name?" It was time for confession. "Legion, many devils. I confess. This is who I am. I'm possessed. I believe." We need the same question today. What is your name? I believe that there are folks that need to go to the police station and turn themselves in for committing murder. Don't you? Wouldn't our world be a better place if those folks would go and confess, "My name is murderer. My name is thief. My name is liar. My name is sinner." If people would come before the Lord and confess, "My name is sinner. I need help." You know, Legion got help that day. He confessed his name. He needed help. And the Lord delivered him from all of those devils. There is a name greater than all names. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1 and 20. "Which he wrought in Christ when he set him, raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that in that which is to come." Jesus' name is greater than all names. But there was a time that Satan came tempting him and encouraged him after he'd been fasting. "Turn this bread into stone." I'm sorry, "Turn the stone into bread." When Jesus was hungry, that appealed to his flesh, no doubt. But you know, there's something more valuable than satisfying our flesh. There is something more precious. Then Satan told him, "You see the glory of all the kingdoms of the world." He showed them to him in a moment of time. "Just bow down and worship me, and I'll give all this glory to you." Did you know there is something more valuable than the glory of all the kingdoms of this world? Had Jesus done that, he would have not had this high name that is higher than all names. Then jump off this pinnacle, because the scripture says the angels will bear you up if you dash your foot against a stone. No, my name is more valuable than that. And so is yours if you are a saint of God. If you are a Christian, if you have been forgiven of your sins, your name, saved, righteous, is more valuable than all the things this world has to offer. There's coming a day that the Lamb's Book of Life will be opened. And we will stand before the judgment seat of God, and the name righteous, the name godly, the name virtuous will be found there. Will your name be in that list? There is another list. It says, the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. On that day, I don't want my name to be fearful, unbelieving, whoremonger, adulterer, liar. I don't want that name on that day. You know how I'm going to have to, what I'm going to have to do between now and then to prevent that? I'm going to have to be careful in my life every day. I am going to have to make the right choices. When Satan comes tempting, I'm going to have to say no. My name, righteous, is more valuable than all the riches of this world, than all the pleasure that you have to offer me. My name, I value it. It's in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I want to keep it there. You know what's going to be worth it all to you? If your name is in that list that day. God help us. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Well, maybe our name has been corrupted. Maybe we've done some things that have earned us the name sinner, the name liar, drunk, whatever it may be. I am so thankful for the theme of this song. There are sins that have blackened both the heart and the name, and stricken a mother with sorrow and shame. But there's healing in Jesus. There's a balm for each pain, and the heart that's been blackened can be made white again. Aren't you glad that there is a new name for each one of us? When our name was shameful, the Lord gave us a new one when we accepted Him. I want to encourage every one of you. If you don't have that good name, get it and hold on to it. For all you're worth, it will be worth it. Amen.